Cool, let's pray to begin. God, we thank you for the joy that we get to experience at this time. We thank you for the impeding hope of the birth of our Saviour. So, Lord, would you be with us today? Would you speak to us? And would you open our ears to hear from you this morning? In your name we pray. Amen. Morena te iwi. It is my joy and blessing and privilege to be with you this morning. Who loves Christmas? Anyone? Yeah, it looks like it. Very Christmassy out there today. Love to see everyone in your red. I like Christmas. I'll say that. But someone who absolutely loves Christmas is my partner, Sophie. She's the kind of person that if you put your Christmas tree up on the 1st of December, you're already a month late. So as soon as Halloween comes and goes, it's Christmas time. So Sophie has been getting really excited about Christmas for a long time, and I've been getting excited for her. But I'll admit that today I am feeling starting to get excited about Christmas. I'm excited because today, after church actually, we're heading off to go and see our family again and celebrate Christmas with our families, which is starting to get me really excited. But it is also my joy to be celebrating and gathering with you, my family, in Christ as well this morning. So yeah, it's very exciting that it's Christmas time. Today, we come to the fourth and final week of our Advent series, the week before Christmas, and today we're looking at the theme of hope, the last of our four. Not hope, love. I brought the wrong sermon, I did the same one. No, love. Love is in everything. It's in the movies that we watch. Most of the movies that we watch centers around some kind of love plotline. Whether that's distorted or accurate, it's something to do with love. The music that we listen to, again, whether distorted or accurate, it's often about love or some branch off of love. The books that we read, the magazines that we look at, love seems to permeate through everything in our lives, whether we're Christian or not Christian. And so, I think it's only fitting that Jesus has a little bit of something to say about love. But how do you summarize such a huge and universal idea? Love, everyone knows it. How do you pin it down and how do you figure out what love is? And I don't think I could do that question justice. And so I thought I'd outsource to the awesome people at the Bible Project. And so we've got a video this morning to do that job for me.
So if you've heard of Jesus, you probably know about one of his famous teachings called the Golden Rule. Do to others what you would want them to do to you. And this, actually, is a restatement of something else that Jesus said, that the meaning of life is to love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, that's really beautiful, but what does he mean exactly by the word love? It's an unclear word in English, because you can love your mom and you can love pizza. And if the word love means the same thing in both of those cases, your mom's gonna feel real bad. So what did Jesus mean in his language? Well, first of all, this love your neighbor phrase is a quotation from the Hebrew scriptures, where the word for love is ahava. However, the language Jesus spoke and taught in from day to day, it was a cousin language of Hebrew, that is Aramaic, in which the word for love is rachma. But then, as Jesus' followers spread his teachings around the world, they translated them into Greek, using the word agape. But here's what's fascinating. The earliest followers of Jesus, who wrote the books of the New Testament in Greek, they didn't learn the meaning of agape by looking it up in ancient dictionaries. Rather, they looked to the teachings of Jesus and the story of his life to redefine their very concept of love. So, one time, Jesus was asked about the most important command in the Jewish scriptures. And he first quoted from the ancient prayer in the Torah called the Shema. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart. So, love for God is the most important thing. But then Jesus quickly followed up by saying another command from the Torah was also the most important, to love your neighbor as yourself. So, which is the most important, loving God or loving your neighbor? Jesus' answer is yes. To ask the question means you don't get his point. For Jesus, they are two sides of the same coin. Your love for God will be expressed by your love for people, and vice versa, they're inseparable. And so this makes it clear that for Jesus, agape love is not primarily a feeling for someone else that happens to you, like our phrase, I fell in love. For Jesus, love is action. It's a choice that you make to seek the well-being of people other than yourself. Jesus also went on to teach that genuine love for God and others means seeking people's well-being without expecting anything in return, especially from people who are in difficult situations, who can't repay you even if they wanted to. According to Jesus, this kind of generous love reflects the very heartbeat of God. And he took this even further. Jesus said that the ultimate standard of authentic love is how well you treat the person that you can't stand. Or in his words, you shall love your enemy and do good to them, expecting nothing in return. For Jesus, this kind of enemy-embracing love imitates the very character of God himself. Now, we wouldn't be talking about Jesus still today if he had only said things like, love your enemy. This is how he actually lived. Jesus was constantly helping and serving the people around him in very practical and tangible ways. And he consistently moved towards poor and hurting people who couldn't benefit him in return. He showed love for the forgotten ones, the people who usually fall through the cracks. And when Jesus eventually marched into Jerusalem, he made himself an enemy of the leaders of his people by accusing them of hypocrisy and corruption. But then instead of attacking his enemies to overthrow them, he allowed them to kill him. Jesus died for the selfishness and corruption of his enemies because he loved them. After Easter morning, Jesus and then his followers claimed that it was the power of God's love for the world that was revealed in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. As the Apostle Paul put it, God demonstrated his own agape for us in this: while we were still sinners, the Messiah died for us. Or in the words of the Apostle John, God's own agape was revealed when he sent his one and only Son into the world so that through him we could have life. And for John, then, this leads naturally to the conclusion, beloved ones, if that's how God has loved us, then we ought to show love for one another. So Christian faith involves trusting that at the center of the universe is a being overflowing with love for his world, which means that the purpose of human existence is to receive this love that has come to us in Jesus and then to give it back out to others, creating an ecosystem of others-focused, self-giving love. And that's the New Testament meaning of agape love.
Thanks, guys. Well done now, eh? I can sit down. Sweet. No, I love that video. It makes it so simple, or it simplifies this idea of love. Love God and love your neighbor. With these two commandments, Jesus says you can sum up the entire Old Testament, the prophets, and even the gospel. It's simple. And so I don't think I need to convince anyone that love is one of the most important things in life. But what I can do is offer some thoughts on how we might do this. And before that, let's look at that text that they brought up in this in the video. Matthew 22, verses 34 to 40. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees with his reply, they met together to question him again. One of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap him with this question. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. Here we go. Love God and love your neighbor. So, as we look at the question of how we do that, I want to introduce you all to a model called Up and Out. It's a triangle model brought by this group called 3DM and author Mike Breen, who gives some insight into how we can have holistic relationships built on love. And so this is the model here, up, in, and out. The first of these is up. Up is all about nourishing our relationship with God. If we look at the scriptures, at the gospels, we see that Jesus would often take himself away into the wilderness, up a mountainside, or somewhere he could be isolated so that he could be alone, so that he could nourish his relationship with God. And so if Jesus needed to do this, I think it's likely that we'll probably need to do this too. I think of a story in my life 3 years ago. I think back to a time where I found myself in a bit of a difficult time. I'd just gone through a serious breakdown in relationship with somebody I was close to at the time. Also a neighbour just down the road. Five kids, their house burnt down and they lost all of their belongings. And at the time as well, I was involved with this climate change group, which were and we were collectively mourning the forest fires that were happening over in Australia, which seem to be more and more common now. With all of this at play at the time, I was beginning to feel like kind of one of those days where it's just when it rains, it pours. And I was really grateful for when at the time I had this, I guess, spiritual practice or rhythm of I know that I encounter God out in creation, and so fortunately there was a bush walk close to my house, and so every evening I'd go down for a quick walk through the bush. And so again, I'd go and do my walk, not out of trying to be spiritual or holy, but more out of a force of habit. I went and did so, and as I'm walking through the bush, God revealed himself to me. He didn't reveal himself to me through an audible voice or those warm, fuzzy feelings. God revealed himself to me through a little bird, a kōtari, or a kingfisher. As I'm walking through the bush, on the side of the path, out of the corner of my eye, I see this kōtari sitting there, and I'm drawn to it. And as I approach it, I find that the bird isn't afraid of me. It allows me to come right up to it and even begin to pat it and pat its back. And before long, it would even hop into my hand and sit in my hand. And so a really simple story, and for some that would be, I don't know, just a coincidence, but for me it was a recognition and an affirmation of God with me. God's love for me, God's presence with me, and that's what I needed that day. And so this morning I know that I'm trying to explain this idea that it's all about loving others, but the first and foremost thing that we need to know is the fullness and the lavishing of love that God has for each of us. Out of that place of love of God, we can then begin to overflow out into others, to share that love with others. So that's the first, up, nourishing our relationship with God. The next is in. And I want to make it really clear, I want to make it to distinguish. At face value, this can, I guess, lead to some unhelpful ideas or thoughts around kind of the us and them mentality. That's not what I'm trying to explain today. But as I kind of explain it, I'm hoping it'll kind of make sense. The in part of this triangle is about our community. Who are our people, our household? And so if we think about Jesus, Jesus had his 12 disciples. They were his people. Everywhere Jesus went, the disciples went with him. He fed into them. He nourished his relationship with them in a unique way that was different to those others around him. And so for me at the moment, that looks like Mana. Mana is a youth transitional home out in Wakura. Sophie works there as well. And for me, those are my people who I share the daily life with. We do meal times together. We hang out in the evening sometimes. And then for some of the team there as well, once a fortnight we connect to share what's been happening in our lives in a more intentional way, to challenge each other to listen to the voice of God and to pray together. For me, that's what my in looks like currently. These are the people that I'm investing in a unique way to share love with one another. And so that's in. Who are your people? Who are your people that you're sharing love with, sharing relationships of love with? In. And finally, that leads to out. And out is all about reaching out with God's love to all of those we meet along the way. Jesus would do this. He would share love with the people that he encountered on his journeys. The leper, the woman at the well, the tax collector. Jesus loved the other. And so Jesus calls us into the beauty of his upside down kingdom. As we saw in that video earlier, Jesus calls us to repay wrongdoings against us with love, with forgiveness, with generosity, with kindness. It's the beauty and mystery of the upside-down kingdom of God. Again, a few years ago, I was part of a home group with some of the young adults with my one of my old churches, and we wanted to live out some of this idea, the idea of reaching out to the other with love and generosity. And so we decided, we figured out that if we put aside $5 a week, each of us, into a pool, once a month we could run an event for our community, which we called Pulled Pork in the Park, because it rolls off the tongue. It's nice. And so our idea was we wanted to be generous to our community, and we figured we could just do the cheap thing, you know, sausage sizzles, cheap, easy, quick. But actually, we wanted our community to feel real special, so we wanted to do something a bit more generous and, So we went to the park once a month. We prepped pulled pork in the slow cookers overnight, and then we handed out pulled pork burgers for free at the park. And so that was a really simple thing. Didn't take much from us. That was one less coffee a week from each of us in the home group. We didn't change the world, but for those people that were there, my hope is that there was a glimpse of the love of Christ in what we were doing. That was our hope. That's what it looked like for us at the time, to reach out to our community with love. And so that's all I have to offer really this morning, just some ideas on how we might be sharing love. Not why we should be sharing love, but how we might be sharing love this Christmas. And so I think when we have all of these three things in balance, I think we've got a winning formula. We live deeply within the love of Christ. We love those that we share life with. And we reach out to those around us with a generous outpouring of love. And so I want to leave us with three questions today. How are you investing into your relationship with God, so that you may experience the fullness of his love? Who are your people? And how are you sharing relationships of love? And particularly as we head into this Christmas season, who has God placed on your heart to reach out with love to? Let's close in prayer. God, we thank you for your love for us, your unconditional love that loved us while we were still sinners. God, we pray that you continue to fill us anew each day with your love, so that we might fill others with love as well. God, we think of those that look to Christmas with fear, with struggle, with stress, the financial burden, and the other things that might cause us discomfort at this time. And so we pray for all of those which Christmas brings hardship to. We pray for those who might be sick at this time. We pray for all those who need a bit of joy, hope, love, and peace. God, would your love reign supreme over this time? Would we all encounter your love in our communities? In your name we pray. Amen.